Matthew chapter 16. We have been dealing now for some weeks with the subject of discipleship. And we began our study with the words of Jesus when he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." We dealt with this concept of discipleship as being in constant fellowship with Jesus, or being yoked together with Jesus, going in the same direction and at the same pace that Jesus is going. We also dealt with this concept of discipleship as far as the prerequisites or the requirements from Jesus' standpoint are concerned. In particular, in relation to our relationships with each other, relationships in our families, coming to the realization, as Jesus stated, that we have to love Him more than these. We saw last week, in particular, concerning our possessions, that we cannot and should not ever be found in a situation claiming to be disciples of Jesus, yoked together with Him, following after Him, when we love our possessions more than we love Him. And this morning, I want us to turn our attention to Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 28. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Of a truth I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Will you join me before the throne of grace in prayer? Thank you, Jesus, for these, your words. And we recognize them as such. And we come to you and we ask that according to your word, through the Apostle Paul, that you would impart understanding to us through your Holy Spirit. Because that word tells us that man in his natural inclinations cannot understand the things of God because they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So we ask that through your Holy Spirit, working in us and through us, that you would take this your word and quicken it in us. Cause it to come to life and to bear fruit. In order that we, as your servants, might come into a better understanding of what it means to be called a disciple of Jesus. And as a result of that understanding, to make a deeper commitment and a determination to follow after you. These things we ask, that Jesus Christ might be glorified to an even greater degree in us as individuals and in this body and fellowship as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, those individuals that were claiming to be his followers, he's going to say something to them that is going to sound again very hard. Now I want you to notice something about what Jesus does. He never holds the truth of the involvement of commitment from those who are seeking to follow him. He lets you know exactly how hard it's going to be called his disciple. And what he wants you to do is to have that awareness so that you can make an informed decision as to whether or not you're going to follow him. We sing a song, and I think sometimes when we sing songs, we just sing words. We just sing music. We get into a rut. We don't really sing from the heart what these words mean. We sing a song entitled, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. But many times you will find that people that have made a commitment to follow Jesus come to a point in their experience with Him that His commands and demands on them are greater than they want to give, and they turn back from following Him. In fact, you will find that in the Scripture, a group of the disciples of Jesus turned back from following Him because they said it was too hard. He was telling them a hard saying. They were having a hard time grappling with it. And that's what He's doing here. It's almost as if He is trying to put you to the test to see how deep is your determination and commitment to follow Jesus. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if anyone will come after Me, and the way He said it, the emphasis is on Me, double emphasis. He's not asking you to follow a philosophy. He's not asking you to follow another prophet. He's not asking you to follow a system of religion. He says, if anyone will follow Me, if anyone wants to come after Me, we have the distinct privilege in Christianity of following a risen, resurrected individual. His name is Jesus. No other religion in the world has that distinction. All of the other religions and cultic practices of the world follow someone who has gone before and who has died and at this point is rotting in their grave. Not so Christianity. We follow Jesus and He is alive. And the purpose of His living is so that we can have the strength and the power to keep on in our discipleship walk. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man or anyone wills. Now the word translated will in this passage of Scripture comes from the Greek word thelo, and it means to will or to wish. It implies volition and purpose. Many times when it is used, it is frequently used to show a determination. You know what Jesus is saying here? If anyone is determined to follow Me, if anyone is determined to come after Me, this is what's going to be required. There are some things you're going to have to do. And beloved people, the Christian life is a series of decisions. One decision, one choice after another. Day after day after day. It is not something that we just enter into and we're saved and then we just coast. We are continually being confronted with the decision of how determined are you, how determined am I to be His disciple? So this word will means determination. How determined are you? And Jesus says some things have to take place and they are put there because it shows us the cost of discipleship. And it also shows us those individuals who are truly determined. When we sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus, we sing a phrase in there, though no one join me, still I will follow. Have you ever stood completely alone in a certain environment that you're in, whether it be at work, whether it be in your home, whether it even be in the church, where you have been completely alone in your determination to follow after Jesus? That's what Jesus is asking us to do here. He says, if anyone determines to follow Me, there are three things that have to happen. You first of all, He says, have to deny yourself. Then you have to take up your cross, and then you have to follow Him. You see, it's not just a matter of coasting. It's not just a matter of entering into the mainstream of Christianity. It's not just a matter of joining a church. It's not just a matter of paying tithes of what you receive. It's not just a matter of saying, I believe in Jesus. It necessitates sacrifice in determination on your part. And believe me, When you say, I have determined to follow Jesus, you're going to be tested in these categories. We saw last week the test that came to that rich young ruler in relation to his possessions. And it says he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. He failed the test. He wanted things more than he wanted Jesus. We saw the week before that there was a test of relationship. That some of the people who were saying that they wanted to follow Jesus wanted a relationship with other individuals more than they wanted a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus said that those individuals were not worthy. They were not fit to be disciples. Beloved people, the Bible says many are called. The gospel call goes out to many people. But few make the grade in discipleship because it's going to cost you something. It's called commitment and determination. Now he says, if any man determines to come after me, let him, number one, deny himself. Now I want to tell you some things about this word deny. I want to first of all talk to you a little bit about the grammar of it. And then I want to point out what the word itself means. The grammar of this word means it is a command to do this. In other words, Jesus is saying to these individuals, I am commanding you to do this. If you're making a determination to follow me, I command you to deny yourself. I command it. And it's not a thing of saying, I command you to do it, and then the individual says, well, I can't. You ever hear that from kids when you tell them to do something? I hear it from adults when I ask them to do something. I can't. Sometimes it comes out in a whining voice that just kind of sets your teeth on edge. Jesus is not listening for your can't. He is saying to you from the grammar of this word deny, he says, do this. You make it happen. Because this is where you are in charge of your will. He says, you deny yourself. It's not something Jesus is going to do for you. Jesus is in there through the Holy Spirit equipping you with his power to make it a possibility. But it's not something he's going to do apart from your cooperation. For instance, back when I was teaching school in Macon, Georgia in 1973, my brother Peter joined me for that year of teaching. And after school let out in the afternoons, we found ourselves with a lot of time on our hands, so we were bored. And there wasn't much to do in Macon. So what we decided to do was we were going to join a health spa. My brother was equipped with far more than I'm equipped with. And I remember as we sat there at the counselor's table getting ready to sign the contracts, he was asking us why we wanted to join. And of course, I wanted to join because I wanted to look like Charles Atlas. And my brother wanted to join because he just wanted to get rid of the excess that he had. And his question was, what is the best exercise that I can do to get rid of this? You know what the counselor said? Nothing. He didn't say a word. He just went. You know what the implication was? Just push yourself away from the table, pal. Deny yourself. But you see, we live in a society that promotes not denial. We live in a society that promotes gimme and give it to me now. You see advertisements all the time that if you buy something now on credit, you don't have to pay until, well, back in April and May, they were saying you don't have to pay until after Labor Day. No payments till Labor Day, and everybody rushes out to buy this thing because they get 4 or 5 months of free use. before the payments come due. Excess. We live in a society that promotes that. It does not promote self-denial. Jesus is saying, deny yourself. If you are determined to be my disciple, deny yourself. And that's what the word means. It means to deny utterly, to affirm that one has no connection. You understand what this is saying? By the way, this is the same word, deny, that Jesus used in relation and warning to Peter when he said, before the cock crows, you will deny me thrice. Peter says, not me. In other words, what Jesus was telling Peter is, there's going to come a time very shortly before morning, Peter, when you are going to utterly disown me. And you're going to do it several times over. And that appalled Peter. He wasn't faking when he said that it wasn't going to happen. He truly believed it. And what Jesus is saying to you and I in discipleship criteria is, you have to come to the place in order to be called his disciple that you are willing to utterly deny yourself. You understand that? Not utterly deny someone else, but utterly deny yourself. Your own appetite. Your own desires, your own goals, your own dreams, and instead infuse yourself with Jesus Christ to such a degree that his desires become your desires, his dreams become your dreams, his goal becomes your goal. That's discipleship. And Jesus said, if you're not willing to do that, you're not worthy to be called my disciple. If you're not willing to do that, you're not really following after me, he says, because I, he said, of himself, or the Apostle Paul said of him, that he stripped himself and became of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Now imagine this. Jesus Christ is Almighty God from eternity past becomes a man in order that he might do the will of his Father. His Father's goal became his goal. His Father's will became his will. So much so that he could tell individuals, he said, my meat, I live to do my Father's will. That became such a desire of the Apostle Paul's that he said these words, for me to live is Christ. And a good way to test the degree of your discipleship is to ask yourself this question. For me, really living is, and fill in the blank. Driving a Mercedes? Having a new home with a fireplace in every room? Having a job that pays you $100,000 a year and $40,000 a year in bonuses? Having everything your heart could desire? Having your children turn out to be letter perfect? What do you put in that place of where the Apostle Paul put Christ and where Jesus put the Father? What do you put there? Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to put me in that blank. You have to deny, utterly, come to grips with the utter denial of your own desires. I've seen this take place. In practical ways within the home. Neither I nor my family considers me to be anywhere near to grasping the title of chef. Understand? I'm lousy in the kitchen. I'm good with tuna fish sandwiches and cereal. But one thing I can lay claim to is I'm pretty good at barbecuing chicken. Because it doesn't matter whether there's a little burn mark on it or not, people are still smacking their lips. And my secret recipes come right off the grocery store shelves. But I've noticed something very interesting. I have watched when people eat chicken. Some people, the immediate thing they grab for is that half of a breast. Other people, it's the drumstick and the thighs. And we're talking in a decreasing order here. Other people, it's the wing. But I have only seen one individual go for the back. You know why that individual was going for the back? Because they were denying themselves in order that those around them might have the better part. That's denial. For a while, I was thinking to myself, who likes to eat the back? You know the conclusion I've come to? Nobody. If you're buying a fryer that's already cut up, the reason they throw the back in is to add weight because it's primarily bones and a tail. But its nutritional value is almost nil. So when a person reaches for that, you are seeing self-denial in progress for someone else's benefit. And Jesus said that our attitude towards ourselves needs to be that kind of an attitude when we determine to be His disciple. Are you that determined, beloved people? He says, if anyone determines to come after me, let him, first of all, deny himself. Then he says, let him take up his cross. And the word take is in the same grammatical context as the word deny. It is a command. It is saying, make this happen. Don't just try. In other words, what Jesus is saying to us is we are to make such a determination to make this happen that we will die trying, if nothing else. This is going to happen, or I'm going to die trying. You understand that? That's the implication and the impact of this word deny, and the implication and the impact of this word take. We deny ourselves and we take the cross, and we have seen before that the cross is the instrument of death. In other words, we're talking about two things, two sides of the same coin here. Denying myself to the point of death, if necessary. Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Taking that cross, Jesus' cross? No, our own cross, our own instrument of death. And my instrument of death is my determination for discipleship, no matter what it costs. You understand that? My instrument of death, my cross, is my determination to be a disciple, no matter what it costs. No matter whether Satan comes into my life like he did Job and strips me of everything, I have decided to follow Jesus. No matter whether my wife or my husband, no matter whether my children, no matter whether the community, no matter whether the rest of the church makes this determination with me, though no one join me, still I have made a determination to follow. If it costs me my life, I will follow. That's what he's saying. That's quite a commitment, beloved people. Then he says this, if anyone determines to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That word follow appears 77 times in the gospel. And every time it's in relation to discipleship. And over 50 of them, it's in the same tense that I'm going to explain to you. It means to follow as a matter of lifestyle. A continuous following. Not something that you just make your a commitment to and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to church next Sunday morning. But it's like making this kind of a commitment. I am going to go to church every Sunday morning that I am able to move my legs and motivate my body by the grace of God. I'm going to be found in a church someplace, sometime. If I'm on vacation, I'm going to be in church. This is the kind of commitment he's talking about, not commitment to go to church, but the same type of commitment when we make a determination. This kind of following is a continuous thing. But it's more continuous than a habit. There are two types of continuous action in the Greek. One is can be termed as a habit. And there are a lot of commands to us in Scripture that tell us to do this as a habit. But this kind of a command goes beyond the habit. Some of you have habits. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. What Jesus is saying is he wants our following of him to be more, have more of a grip on us than a habit does. Imagine that. There is a greater determination to follow after him than the strongest inclination of the most forceful habit in my life. Think about the most forceful habit in your life, whether good or evil. Think about it. It could be eating, could be sleeping, could be smoking, could be speeding. Whatever the habit is, think about it. Think of the grip it has on your life. In other words, the grip is such that in any and every situation, you will be found doing this. You will be found craving this. You will be found reaching out for this. And this comes across as even stronger. Jesus is saying, I don't want it to be just a matter of habit. I want it to be a matter of your lifestyle. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Christ, he said, is my lifestyle. I follow him when I eat. I follow him when I sleep. I follow him when I get up in the morning. I follow him in every aspect of my life throughout the day. Jesus Christ is central. This is what Jesus is saying is necessary to be his disciple. And the way that we come to grips with that kind of a following of determination is by denying ourselves and taking up our cross. The following becomes a result. But beloved people, what happens to many of us is we have not taken the time to really determine to deny ourselves or what it's going to cost us in denying of ourselves. And as a result, our following Jesus is like this instead of like this. You understand the difference? He says, if any one of you determines to come after me, let him first of all deny himself. Secondly, take up his cross. And as a result of that, he will follow me in the pattern that I have set up. Beloved people, that's what Jesus wants from each of us. It's something that we make happen in the determination of our will through the influence of his Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us and quickens our mind and says, that is displeasing to Jesus. That thought needs to be brought into obedience to the Word of God. That action needs to be turned from. And we say, yes, Lord, I recognize that that was wrong. I will bring that thought into obedience and captive to the Word of God. Yes, Lord, I will no longer be involved in this particular thing. And as we walk with Jesus, he brings these things into our lives, one thing after another, continually purifying the vessel as we walk with him in the light. And the light that emanates from our lives becomes increasingly brighter every day. The question he has for us is this. Will you walk with Him? He's not asking him, will you walk with Him tomorrow? But will you make a determination, this kind of a determination, to walk with Him today? And then tomorrow, deal with the determination tomorrow. But today, make a determination. I have decided to follow Jesus, no matter what it costs, today and following Jesus. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Will you join me in prayer? Father God, as we bow before You, we recognize the cry of the Apostle Paul in his frustrated attempt to follow after the claim of a holy God when he cried out, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh, this sin? We can identify with his cry when he said the things that he wanted to do and desired to do, the spiritual things that he wanted to have take place in his life, he found being superseded by the control of sin. And Father, I pray that You would help each one of us come to the realization of the truth in all of its power that the Apostle Paul found when he said, I thank God that the victory is found in Jesus Christ. We make that determination. You give us the victory. Another problem arises and we make that determination and You give us the victory. And so we begin our walk day by day in faith as You have walked, living as You have lived, with a sole supreme desire to do Your will. We ask that You would make that a reality, that we might be called true disciples of Jesus, that we might experience Your fullness, the full power of Your grace, the cleansing effect of Your blood, the peace that You have died to secure in our relationship with the Father. Thank You so much for this Your word. Bring it home to our hearts. Help us to not become weary in well-doing, but to make our determination to follow Jesus. Help us to come to grips with what it means personally to deny ourselves and to take up our cross so that we can be equipped to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.